Chapter 32. I was tied down, but my hands weren't. I flexed the fingers of my right hand into the mystic position of attack, holding them like a pretend gun, and snapped, "Arctis!" The spell tore the heat from all around the gun and drew water from the air into an instant thick coating of ice, heaviest around the weapon's hammer. The shooter twitched in reaction to the spell and pulled the trigger. The encrusting ice held the hammer back and prevented it from falling. The gunman blinked and tried to pull the trigger several more times, to no avail. Forthill hit him around the knees. Both men went down, and the gun came loose from the gunman's cold, numbed fingers as they hit the floor, and it went spinning across the room. It struck a wall, cracked the ice around its hammer, and discharged harmlessly into the wall with another roar. The gunman kicked Forthill in the face, and the old priest fell back with a grunt of pain. Molly threw herself at him in pure rage, knocking him flat again, and began pounding her fists into him with elemental brutality and no technique whatsoever. The gunman threw an elbow that got her in the neck and knocked her back, then rose, his eyes searching the floor until he spotted his weapon. He started for it. I killed the light from the amulet. He tripped and fell in the sudden darkness. I heard him scuffling with a dazed Forthill. Then there was a single bright flash of light that showed me the gunman arching up in pain. Then it was gone, and there was the sound of something falling heavily to the floor. Several people were breathing heavily. I got my fingers onto my amulet again and brought forth light into the room. Forthill sat against one wall, holding his jaw with one hand, looking pale. Molly was in a crouch, one hand lifted, as if she'd been about to do something with her magical talents, the way she should have at the first sound of the shots, if she'd been thinking clearly. The gunman lay on his side and began to stir again. Butters wheezed, "Clear!" and touched both ends of the naked wires in his hands to the gunman's chest. The wires ran back to the emergency defib unit. When they had been melted off the paddles, it had left several strands of pure copper naked on the ends of both of them. The current did what current does, and the gunman bucked in agony for a second and sagged into immobility again.
"Jerk!"
Butters wheezed. He put a hand on the small of his back and said,
"Ow! Ow! Ow, 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 ow!"
"Butters!" Molly croaked and hugged him. Butters said,
"Ow!"
But he didn't look displeased at the hug. "Grasshopper, don't strain him until we know how bad it is," I said.
"Damn it."
I started fumbling with the straps, getting them clear of my upper body so I could sit up and work on my legs.
"Forthill, are you all right?"
Father Forthill said something unintelligible and let out a groan of pain. Then he heaved himself to his feet and started helping me with the buckles. His jaw was purple and swollen on one side. He'd taken one hell of a hit and stayed conscious. Tough old guy, even though he looked so mild. I got off the backboard onto my feet and picked up the gun.
"I'm all right,"
Butters said.
"I think."
His eyes went wide and he suddenly seemed to panic.
"Oh, God, make sure I'm all right."
He started clawing at his shirt.
"That maniac freaking shot me."
He got the scrubs top off and turned around to show Molly his back. He was wearing an undershirt. And on top of that, he was wearing a Kevlar vest. It was a light, underclothing garment, suitable only for protection against handguns, but the gunman had walked in with a 9mm. He had put both shots onto the center line of Butters' lower back, and the vest had done its job. The rounds were still there, flattened and stuck in the ballistic weave.
"I'm hit, aren't I?"
Butters stuttered.
"I'm in shock. I can't feel it because I'm in shock, right? Was it in the liver? Is the blood black? Call emergency services."
"Butters," I said, "look at me." He did, his eyes wide. "Polka," I said, "will never die." He blinked at me. Then he nodded and started forcing himself to take slower, deeper breaths.
"I'm all right?"
"The magic underwear worked," I said. "You're fine."
"Then why does my back hurt so much?"
"Somebody just hit it twice with a hammer, moving about 1,200 feet per second," I said.
"Oh,"
he said. He turned to look at Molly, who nodded at him and gave him an encouraging smile. Then he shuddered and closed his eyes in relief.
"I don't think I'm temperamentally suited for the action thing."
"Yeah," Since when are you the guy in the bulletproof vest? I asked him. Butters nodded at Molly.
I put it on about 10 seconds after she called me and said you needed help, he said.
He fumbled a small case from his pocket and opened it.
See? I got chalk and holy water and garlic, too.
I smiled at him, but felt a little bit sick. The gunman had put Butters down for the simple reason that he had been blocking the shooter's line of sight to the room. If he'd been trying for Butters, the 2 shots to clear his sight line would have included a 3rd shot to the back of Butters's head. Of course, if Butters hadn't been in the way, my head wouldn't have fared any better than his. We're all so damned fragile. Footsteps sounded outside the door, and I raised the gun to cover it, taking a grip with both hands, my feet centered. I was lining up the little green targeting dots when Sonya came through the door carrying a platter of sandwiches. He stopped abruptly and lifted both eyebrows, then beamed broadly.
Dresden, you are all right.
He looked around the room for a moment, frowning, and said,
Did I miss something? Who is that?